On my own, pretending he's beside me.
Okay,
there you go.
You need a little bit higher though, because I'm fucking with you. That's a beautiful song.
That
is a very, that's what I do like a lot of those plays, because people think it's like, oh, it's show tune again. But if you actually listen to the lyrics, it's very indicative of how the times were back then. And then Les Mis, that's a sad play.
Like, it is.
It's a very, very sad play.
Welcome to the All American Savage Show podcast with your host, John Burke, and his far more attractive co-host, me. Now, let's get into it. That's what your mom said.
Craving to listen to, because apparently it's, people were saying on Twitter, this is like a WWE SmackDown. This is like Meatball Palooza we have coming up here, because my guest previously, you know, I was listening to the podcast this morning. I was like critiquing things that I could have done to sound better, even though I sound like I'm dying because I'm all congested and stuff. But you know, we were talking about the gaping void being filled.
Hole.
The gaping hole. For like, if you listen to that in a certain segment, it comes off, you cheated. You sent me a video of yourself. And like, that was 2 weeks ago in Turkey. I was thinking of you. And you're like, you cheated. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, that didn't sound good at all. At all. I was like, it was a video of the meat gazer. Just to be clear. Just to be clear. It wasn't of a gaping hole.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That was fun yesterday, though.
It was. I had a good time. Even though, like, your recent hot take on meatballs is just absolutely ridiculous.
There is only one meatball.
You're getting crucified on Twitter. I have
because
the court of public opinion on my side.
No, people are not understanding the argument. They're going into like, oh, there's veal, there's beef, there's a combination of them. There's sauce. There's There is only one meatball.
What is the meatball?
The
okay, give me your definition.
That a ball of meat.
Okay, but yeah, but when you say that, though, there are different styles of meatballs. So
that's
when you
not
say,
what we were talking about.
Okay, so if I said there's only one cheeseburger.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
There's
barbecues,
only,
there's bacon, there's...
A cheeseburger is cheese on a burger. Then you can put other things on it and make it something else.
Your Honor,
there is only
my
one
only
meatball.
Response I have to this accusation being levied at me is that the perpetrator of this accusation is actually retarded. That's all I can say on this matter.
You know that my cousin Vinny won in this scenario, correct?
I wasn't even referencing that. I haven't even seen it.
Well, you did a southern drawl and an attorney voice.
Okay.
You've never seen my cousin Vinny.
There's plenty of videos. There's plenty of movies that have this. Devil's Advocate. I can think that right off the top.
You've never seen my cousin Vinny?
I know. I probably shouldn't have said that out loud. No. I'm a big Pesci fan. I think Pesci's amazing.
Okay. Marissa Tomei is in that movie.
She's a very beautiful woman.
Can you watch it this weekend, please?
If you'll admit that there's more than one kind of meatball.
There is more than one variation on meatballs. I'll admit that.
I'll take it. That's a
but
win.
That's not what I was saying.
This is me dunking on Tracy.
Whatever.
Clip this and send it to me. Clip this and send it to me. Thank you. Anyway, how was the birthday? Meatballs?
They were good. I sent you a photo.
You did. I've seen Tracy Beans' meatballs.
Raw.
Why does that make it sound so much worse? I've seen her raw meatballs, not the cooked ones.
That's the kind of show we have here, John. That's the kind of show. All right.
Oh, my God.
I sent him my meatballs frying in my Wagyu beef tallow.
They actually look really good.
They're good.
Your carnivore diet, does that affect your cholesterol levels at all?
Yes, it does.
How do you counter that?
I don't, because it sliced my triglycerides in half.
Okay. I'm gonna nod and act like I know what the hell you just said, but yes.
Well, there's different types of cholesterol. There's total cholesterol, there's LDL, there's HDL, there's triglycerides, and all of those little parts of cholesterol do different things in the body.
Okay.
What you really want to pay attention to is your ratio between your HDL cholesterol, which is the good kind, and your triglycerides. Because you want your triglycerides low and your HDL high. So the bigger the ratio between those two numbers is, the better off you are. Okay. Your LDL and your total cholesterol aren't really as important if those other two numbers are low.
Lower, okay.
And higher. So I started out at 186. My triglycerides were 186 eating like a standard diet. And less than a year later, they were sliced in half. To 90 something. I have them up on socials, and my total cholesterol went up, obviously, which is fine. And my LDL came, my LDL is a little higher, but my triglycerides, my HDL are like perfect. So I'm good.
Interesting. I always wondered about that. It's like a more meaty diet. Like, what would that do to cholesterol levels? But I just learned me something.
It'll kill you to know I eat butter too.
Why would that kill me?
Like, literally just eat it. Cause that's high in fat, you know, you don't want to put that in your body. It's bad.
Wait,
for you.
You literally just take a stick of butter and eat it?
Yes, I do. I eat butter.
Is this like a carnivore diet thing, or just you in general being weird?
No, it is. It's to get, like, I don't eat, like, I eat skirt steak most days, and it's not fatty.
Oh, I love skirt steak.
Me too.
When was the last time you went to, it doesn't matter between the two, but Texas de Brazil or Fogo de Chão?
I've never been.
Oh, you was
and they marinade. I don't have any of that nonsense on there.
Oh, now you just sound like one of those vegan carnivore diets. Like, I eat meat. It's like, but
I can't put sugar on my meat.
Has to come from free range meat.
No, I'm not saying that. You don't have to have free range meat. That's ridiculous.
I know.
You do
I'm
eat
busting
it.
Your chops. I'm busting but, your land chops that you could probably eat, but they can't be marinated. Does that work?
I cannot keep my way of eating this way and then load sugar on top of my freaking steak. It's like counterproductive. Why would
but
I?
How much sugar does a lot of this?
A lot.
No.
Oh my god.
No. Do a straight up shout out. Jason from Grill Your Ass Off. Dry rub. I'll say dry rub, not actual marinade. But his stuff does not have a lot of fat because I put a seasoning salt. And then there is a charcoal powder, even though it's not actual charcoal, and it has a certain seasoning to it, but the sugars aren't high in that.
I want more fat, so that's good. Let's take a look here.
I want to put more fat in my hole.
I want...
I need some fat in my hole.
I need as much fat as I can
Not
get
marinated fat. It has to be dry fat. We're going dry in dry. Fat. Bite the pillow.
Okay, this isn't bad. I mean, I pulled randomly one up. This is not marinade, though. Like
you're
you
right.
Said.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess for me, marinade just meant in a sense of like I should just say seasoned. So seasoned beef. So then you can season your meat.
I can, depending on what kind of seasoning I'm using. Like I could use the one I just looked at if I wanted to, but it still has a gram of carbs in it. If you're being strict.
How strict are you?
I'm really strict.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like it's. My husband's really strict too. I'm loosening up on it a little bit though because I want to get some fruit back in my diet just because I like it.
Natural.
So, yeah. Like blueberries and stuff like that.
Trying to grow some. They're hard.
Blueberries? They're hard. Yeah, the animals will come right for you.
I haven't even made it that far. I can't get the damn things to grow yet. It's like the weather here in Texas keeps shifting between semi-warm to freezing cold. So.
God. The chat is on fire right now.
You're looking on Rumble?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Rumble's like, we have a very good group of people over on Rumble. We have a great chat. But sometimes they get a little like, simmer down, peasants. Simmer down. You're getting too much. Too much. All right. So we talked yesterday. We talked yesterday on entrepreneurship. You know, your journalism, your things that you do. What's been one of your biggest motivators as far as sticking with your job? Because this job is filled with a lot of toxicity, a lot of negativity. What pushes you to continue going and just saying versus just saying, you know, this isn't worth it?
I've been wrestling with this a lot lately, actually.
Why is that?
Because.
Sit down, Tracy. Sit down on the couch I have for you over here and tell me your problems. I will be therapist Burke.
When I'm doing.
It's like because you hate your father. I'm sorry. I'll shut up. I'm sorry. I just saw this. I got to take this.
My dad's amazing, actually. I could talk about him a little bit. He'd probably be upset, but no, mother, nobody could hate my dad. Nobody.
Are they proud of you for what you do?
I think so. I mean.
I would hope so.
I think. I've been doing this a very long time now, and sometimes with all the crap that's going on out there right now, like how easy it is to just lie to people and get away with it and make tons of money. It's very, very, very demoralizing.
Yeah. I can imagine. So,
yeah, it sucks. Like, it makes me feel very...
underappreciated?
Useless, basically, because even if I come out and, you know, if something's not correct and I'm like, guys, you might want to look at this, it isn't right.
Yeah.
I'm just basically running out into enemy territory waiting to be shot, you know, figuratively.
Yeah.
It's... And, you know, I see this is a very bad way to be, and I'm working on it hard. I'm working hard at this. But I get very upset when I see people that I know are not doing the right thing being rewarded over and over again. And then there's those of us out here who are really, really busting our ass. Yeah. Not that I'm, like, working harder than anybody else, because I'm not necessarily a believer in you work harder and you get more. That's not how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
But I just see these big, all the, like, I'm out here, we're on a shoestring budget, like, barely able to keep our heads above water. And then I'm seeing all kinds of, I'm like, what the hell? Why
it's almost bother? Like the same groups of people they talk about in Hollywood selling their souls. It seems like a lot of the people that are in this space do the exact same thing. I'll say, like, DC Drano, a lot of these people that I once had a lot of respect for, that I was actually personal friends with, that I've seen what they have evolved into, and they get rewarded for lying, for gaslighting. By the way, there was new information that bridge that got hit by the barge we were talking about yesterday.
Yeah.
Did you know they called the cities, like, hey, We might hit this bridge.
Yeah.
Like, there was actual calls prior. It's like, so why would a terrorist do that? And of course, Drano doubles down. It gets engagement. It gets him paid. And they do this intentionally. And it creates this level of conspiracy theorism that has now really put a kung fu grip on the right. And now it feels like we can't even have rational conversations without these people and their theorizing, just dominating the conversation and making people go, oh, wow, they're getting woken up. They're seeing what the real thing is. Like, no, maybe that one was just an accident. You know, it is possible.
I said this morning on my little space I have for my subscribers, we do a space where everybody just comes
nice.
Up. Yeah, it's fun. I was like, okay, I've been doing this since 2000, early 2001. And that's how I was when I first started doing this. I believed literally anything because everything I had ever known was a lie. So it was very easy for me to believe basically anything I found because I knew I'd been lied to. And that stage of things happens to everyone.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes, you know, takes a couple years for you to really start to ground yourself again and like use your discernment. And we're unfortunately in the midst of a lot of people doing that all at the same time with no good direction.
Yep.
And it's just natural. So you don't fault people for that necessarily, but you do fault them for like then attacking people trying to be like, okay, like I had people schooling me. You don't even know what a conspiracy theory is, where it came from. I'm like, guys, you don't understand. Like people think I just appeared one day. I've been doing this my entire adult life.
Yeah.
I know where the term conspiracy theory came from. I know what conspiracy theories are. And there are legitimately some effed up things that happen.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And that continue to happen. There's no doubt. But the problem is, like, for example, I did my whole show today, John, on the eclipse.
I tuned in and I saw part of that. I saw the naming, what the astronaut of NASA used to name stuff. I didn't finish it, but I was kind of like, that's also a lot of what they've done throughout history as far as space flights. We talked about various spacecraft, Apollos, things like that. It's very common in there.
Well, they named it that way on purpose. NASA did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure some wise ass at CERN was like,
can
let's
give
fire
some
up.
Context, give some context to that because I know what you're talking about, but the audience probably doesn't. This is on your show by the way, which is on Rumble.
Yes, right here on Rumble. So I did an hour on all the crazy stuff I found about the eclipse that's coming on April 8th.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no, you know, I didn't fact check anything. I was very clear about that. I was just like, this is the stuff that's out there about this eclipse.
I got it on Wikipedia.
I did get something from Wikipedia.
Oh, Jesus.
Actually.
Oh, God.
But the fact of the matter is, what I know is that the 2017 eclipse, the path of totality, crossed over seven U.S. cities called Salem, which means truth.
Oh.
And then I do know that this one is supposed to cross over 11 cities. Oh, I'm forgetting the name now. It starts with an N. Nevada. Hold on, I'll tell you because it was in my search history on Twitter.
You don't even want to go there. Don't go there.
Nineveh.
That's from the Bible too.
And yes, it is. And I do know for a fact that those two paths happen to cross right over. Gosh, wow, I am totally mind farting.
You're in vacation
right now.
Mode right
Rapture,
now.
Rapture. The city name is Rapture. They crisscross. No, I'm dead serious. So that piqued my attention. Okay. And then it's underneath the whale constellation, which is the story of Jonah. So it's just very, the whole thing is just very strange.
Well,
and
I just want to say real quick, God promised no more floods. So.
Well, hopefully that stays legit. I'm running.
Well, he said that's what the rainbow was for until the gays conscripted it.
Well, they didn't really take it.
They kind of did.
No, they can pretend they have the actual rainbow.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, it's okay. Fair.
Yeah. So I know all these things to be true. So it's very interesting. It's intriguing, right? Anybody who kind of looks around at the universe and says, well, maybe not everything is the way it seems, would be like, wow, that's interesting. So then it came out that NASA is launching a missile, three missiles into this eclipse. And they happened to name the project after an Egyptian god that was like the antithesis of the sun god, like the opposite of the sun god Ra. Mm-hmm. And so it was Apep was the name of this god, which is super interesting. And then also CERN, the hydrogen collider in you know, whatever country, New Zealand or something, that founded the god particle, that is launching up again Monday in the middle of the eclipse. So I just started like saying, like, I can guarantee you there's a bunch of wise asses at NASA and CERN that were like, you want to really mess with these people? Like the
I knew you were gonna go there.
Like the Truman Show.
They probably
like the Truman. Or it's really something, and anybody who says it's really something is gonna come up against someone saying, oh, they just did it that way on purpose just to screw with you. You see? So it could be anything, which is the whole point about this stuff.
You know what Barnum theory is? The Barnum effect?
No.
Literally describes what you just talked about. It's more commonly seen these days in horoscopes. And by that, I mean, like, when you read a horoscope, they're going to give you a very generic take that can literally be applicable to your life in whatever way you so choose to. For example, I could get a horoscope that says, you're going to have good luck today. And then I find a penny. It's like, oh, that's what the horoscope was talking about. So they give you a very generic statement there. And it's up to you to apply it wherever you see it fits. So it's called Barnum Effect or Barnum Theory. It's been around the longest time. It was named after P.T. Barnum, essentially the whole sucker born every minute, but it's been around for a very, like, there were stories of this that go back to the days of Greece. All right, sit down, you little nerds. Daddy's gonna tell you a story. All right, so the Oracle of Delphi was a real thing, and I love the face you're making right there. Yeah. Meatballs. The Oracle of Delphi was this oracle that a lot of people from around Greece, to include other countries, would go travel to get predictions. And so there was a rift in the tectonic plates, and you could actually go down, and they would keep her essentially high as fuck. They would take local stuff and they'd give it to her. She'd be dehydrated, but they'd keep her high. And she never spoke to whoever came to visit, always the priests, and only the priests could understand her. So there was this one general, for example, and he went in there and says, look, I want to go invade this neighboring city-state. And the oracle says, if you cross this river, an empire will fall. And the general goes, oh, okay, great, that must be me. So he crosses the river, and he gets his ass handed to him. He goes back, he's like, wait a minute, you said, he's like, no, I said, if an empire crosses a river, an empire will fall. I didn't say which empire. It's like, that's on you. It's like, oh, wow. So you see how they can kind of play that prophetic role without actually ever being held accountable?
Yeah, that's the way a lot of it works.
Yeah.
So.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, that's it. I mean, I and then, you know, there will be lots of high engagement surrounding that kind of post. And
It feels like it's turned into like this massive conspiracy theory echo chamber to where it's just kind of like, if the sun comes out, it's like, I wonder what the causation was. There's a theory behind this or something. I don't know.
There's always something.
You see this P. Diddy stuff?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on this?
I honestly think that P. Diddy is going to end up being the fall guy like Epstein was. Because I was in that industry for a while.
Really?
Yeah. I'm a singer, and I when I was in my late teens,
you
early
sing?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know you sang.
Yeah.
Sing for me.
Sing what?
Sing anything. Sing Meatballs. My meatballs are on fire.
There is a song, isn't there?
Great.
I don't know. Name a song. I'll sing something.
Chat, Rumble chat, name a song. Somebody said P. Diddler. That sounds like a Batman villain, the P. Diddler.
There's a lot of funny hashtags going around.
Oh my God, the P. Diddler. I like that.
Anyway, I used to sing and okay. So I used to sing and so I know that industry a little bit. Like I was in the studio with Big Pun back in.
Who's Big Pun?
You don't know who Big Punisher is.
Tracy, I'm white. Hip-hop. You should know better.
It was hip hop.
Oh, there you go. I don't do the music of the peasants. It's just not my thing.
Someone tell me I should sing WAP.
Oh my God. Can you really sing WAP though? WAP's more of a, I don't know.
No, you can't.
Okay, let's do Music of the Night by Phantom of the Opera.
Oh my gosh.
You better know that. You're from New York. Nighttime sharpens, heightens each scent. Okay, your turn.
Can we do Les Mis?
Oh. Look down.
Can't get better than
don't
this.
Don't look them in the eye.
Can I just name random musicals out?
Let's do it.
What about Miss Saigon? Go for it.
Ah, never saw it.
You never saw Miss Saigon?
I never saw Miss Saigon. Mm. I know.
What about Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat? Go.
Nope. Couldn't do it. Nope. Nope. Cats. Moonlight. That's the common. Like that's your baseline New York Broadway plays. Cats, Les Mis, Phantom. I did see Lion King.
My Hakuna Matata.
Yep.
I can sing. I'll do. On my own, pretending he's beside me.
Okay, you need a little bit higher though, because I'm fucking with you. That's a beautiful song. That's what I do like a lot of those plays because people think it's like, oh, it's show tune again. But if you actually listen to the lyrics, it's very indicative of how the times were back then. And then Les Mis, that's a sad play.
Like, it is.
It's a very, very sad play.
Miss Saigon is about the Vietnam War and a soldier who goes over there and meets a woman. It's just beautiful. Right. Beautiful music in that play. Yeah, you need to see it.
I do need to see that, yeah. I've been meaning to take, I know this is cliche to say, but I really don't care. I do love New York, specifically around Christmas. I love going to Rockefeller Center. I love going to, you got to go into Saks. You got to go into Tiffany's. I'm not touching anything. But, you know, Breakfast at Tiffany's, you got to go check it out. Audrey Hepburn, I think, is like my all-time favorite. Like, she's class, she's sexy, she's talented, she could sing. She was a whole package. Anyway, I didn't know you could sing. Very well done.
I did a mashup I created one time of, like, 20 different songs all played to the same four-chord structure that were, like, famous songs that nobody would realize actually were all the same song.
Mm-hmm. No, when you get into like musical theory and stuff like that, you start to learn like the mathematics behind everything too. So
yeah, and you also learn that another big conspiracy theory, they changed the frequency at which they broadcast music to be a frequency that causes all kinds of difficulty in the human body. Hmm. Used to be 432 hertz and now they moved it. And it causes anxiety, high blood pressure, like sound frequency does affect the human body. So I try to find music in the
isn't that
frequency.
Part of that Fibonacci thing?
Yeah, it does. Yep, it does. Yep.
You were in the industry, though. Let's talk about. Let's get back to the P. Diddy thing. You were in the industry.
I believe it because I. That's why I left. It was uncomfortable, to say the least. And
can you give me some scenarios, if you don't mind?
Yeah, like I was doing a lot of. I ended up doing a lot of dance. I kind of left the hip hop. World and moved into some dance music and you know you'd go to perform jazz. Yeah you'd go
every,
to perform
every white girl, tap and jazz yeah
tap and jazz no I mean electronic music John electronic
okay.
music
okay
you got it now
what kind of dance is that
well back then they called it dance music
oh okay
so I was doing that and it's a lot of clubs it's a lot of people doing drugs which I never did
how old were you
I was doing this until I was like 24
Okay. But how young were you when you started?
in that industry, like 18.
Okay.
Because when I was a little younger than that, this is a crazy story. I got to go to Norway to record a demo. And I went over to Norway, and the song it was right before 9/11, actually. Mm. And the song that I was going to sing was about kind of like world peace. They had written it and everything, and I was supposed to learn it and sing it. And I was like, nobody's going to buy this. Like, nobody. Nobody's going to want to hear this. Let's change it. Let's make it a love song. So I changed the whole thing. We rearranged it. They reproduced it. I cut it. I came back, and like months later, 9/11 happened. It was almost like God was like, no, you're not.
We didn't count on the Muslims. Didn't count on that Muslim hate. We could have had a hit. Aww. We could have had a banger.
Somebody's making fun of my background because it's a green screen. And yeah. I guess I scratch my shoulder and he goes, it looks like a wormhole opened up
behind. Oh my God. It does. Yeah, it actually does. There's your next conspiracy theory. Tracy's actually talking to us from a different dimension.
Yes. Yes.
So then why do you think P. Diddy did it? P. Diddler.
Because why not? When you're evil and you're in that industry and you want power and fame and all of that, you're going to. That's just what happens. It's just what happens. It doesn't surprise me at all. And now that there are so many people speaking out about it, they will absolutely need a sacrificial lamb. And since so many people are blaming him, there's going to be. And that whole game, that whole East Coast, West Coast disparity or disagreement has always been a problem.
Oh, is that part of this?
Yeah, I believe it is. Well, because 50 Cent's getting involved now, and he's all anti-Jay-Z, and Jay-Z is probably going to come down the hatch with the two, or they might just save him. I don't know. But I do believe that Diddy is like a Harvey Weinstein type, that they're going to scapegoat and kind of blame for everything. So that everyone knows
it's not just him.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, you know, there's that famous preacher here in Dallas, the Jake's TT, what is it, something? He's a bigger dude. He's got one of those mega churches here in Dallas, and apparently there was a lot of speculation about him being a very well-known power bottom at a lot of Diddy's parties.
Diddy's parties,
and I can't stop. T.D. Jakes, thank you, Dan Stillwell in the chat. T.D. Jakes, and apparently in this lawsuit, he's named in it. He's come under fire a few times for being closeted and some other stuff, which is, again, it's like, look, okay, if you're gay, fine. It's like, but don't sit there and pretend to be something you're not. You know, be honest with your congregation. So I don't know if he's guilty or not, but he is named in the lawsuit, apparently. There's a lot of people named in that lawsuit. It's just like, ooh.
There's a lot of people. That guy really went nuts with it. And honestly, don't think he would have done that if he didn't have some of the goods. I think today 50 Cent posted on Instagram and said, yeah, I'll be seeing all those tapes from Diddy's private camera. This is what they do. Like, this is not a conspiracy. This is actually real. Mm-hmm. This is how things get done. They get blackmail material on people. Mm-hmm. They take advantage of people. Mm-hmm. This is how, I mean, Madison Cawthorn wasn't lying. He wasn't.
I believe it.
That's an unfortunate casualty of the over conspiratorialization. That's a word of everything. The real shit doesn't get the attention that it needs because everybody's like, oh, that's just a conspiracy theory.
Or it's the one that I can't stand the most. It's a distraction. It's like, so if two major events happen in the same day, which way are you going to qualify as the distraction and for what purpose?
Yeah, well, the distraction narrative gets annoying too. That's why I just want to turn it all off. However, I still continue to believe that there are people out there who really do want a very solid source of information that they can actually trust and use for their decision-making processes, which is absolutely why we stay out of primaries. We stay out of all that. We don't report on any of it.
That's smart. That's actually a very smart position to take. It's just because once you cross that line, there's no going back. Like, once you've crossed it, you have to just be expected.
Once I start having my news organization propping up different candidates and primaries and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you don't think with all of my being, I didn't want to do like pro DeSantis 24 hours a day on my Uncover DC. Of course I did. Yeah. But I also allowed pro Trump on there. So like,
You do have to be. Yeah. That's good for you for maintaining a position of neutrality. That's the right thing to do. And I think I saw the most recent thing I can compare that to is like kind of Matt Walsh and Daily Wire. It's that when it comes to primaries, this one specifically, they were very quiet. They were not as loud as I expected them to be in their support of Ron DeSantis. But it's like, I don't have a problem if like people don't want to participate or engage in the primaries when you are a conservative news source and political punditry as they are. I get it. was like, but in the past, you've done this. Like, you've done this very loud, might I add. But now it's like, so it's kind of like, I think a lot of them are starting to wake up and understand. Like, Shapiro's like, all right, listen up, gang. Here's the thing. We keep losing money. So let's stop giving our opinions and we'll just go for the left here. And it's a smart position to take. It's like, you just should have never done it in the past. So I think Shapiro and the rest of them have learned.
You're right. The problem is, like, here's the thing. Uncover DC is one thing, but me personally, like, on my social media, on my podcast, I was very open about my choices. But I also never ever in the past and never ever will in the future tell somebody that they should vote a certain way.
Yeah.
Like, everybody, when all Georgia was happening in 2020 and everyone was like, you know, people are telling people to stay home. And I'm like, Georgians don't need the rest of the country to inform them about how they should go out and vote in their election. I think they're smart enough to handle that on their own. So there's a fine
Iowa
line.
Iowa wasn't, that's for sure. Freaking Iowa. I know, me too. Me too. We could have been a contender. We could have had it all. Instead, this is what we got. Three Democrats. It's wonderful.
It's so sad.
All right, well, gotta go shoot myself. Talk to you later. I think Diddy did it. I think he did. I think he did it. I just, 50 Cent made a tweet too. He talked about that. They don't hit you that hard unless they have something. And then people go counter to that, say when they hit you that hard, they're there trying to hide something. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. If they were trying to hide something, I get the whole do it in broad daylight thing, but they're going to be a little bit more.
Well, they had the press there already with helicopters and everything to capture the raids. Yeah. Because they did that, that makes me think he's Epstein'd.
I think so. P. Diddy, of all people. Didn't really hear. Yeah, that guy did, like, didn't he, like, fall into the more of the producer role after a while and then just kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, once you get to a certain level, that's what you do. You you basically just end up managing a whole bunch of other people and then you kind of gatekeep everything.
That's your brand.
It's an impossible business to break into without selling your soul.
That's what I was going to say earlier in reference to when you talked about how you do it the right way, but you see the wrong people being rewarded for the wrong reasons. I feel like it's the same as in Hollywood. I feel like they sell their soul for the almighty dollar because they don't want to choose the hard right over the easy wrong. So instead, they just succumb to greed. They succumb, I mean, they just sell out. And there are, in a weird way, I'm glad the events over the past 4 to 6 years have happened because I saw a lot of these people in the early stages and it was like they're selling out. It was like you can clearly tell. But people were so blinded. And I'm talking primarily about those that supported Trump. People were so blinded by their hatred for the left that any criticisms levied and aimed towards our own were just massively rejected. And they said instead, it's like, well, why do you want the left to win? It's like you do realize it empowers the left when we don't hold our own accountable. Mm-hmm. It's like we have to have purity to an extent. And if we don't have that, well, quite frankly, Tracy, you get what we've got now. You've got a lot of grifters getting paid for doing the wrong things while people like you are, you know, you're just kind of cast aside. You don't get, I imagine you said before, you don't get invited to a lot of the stuff, the big things. It's like you're not going to because you're speaking the truth and they know they can't buy you.
A big goose egg, literally a big goose egg. And it's not like you wanted to talk about entrepreneurship and how, you know, to do this business and how to do it, you know, the right way. And truthfully, I've always just kind of gone by my gut. I've never paid for advertising. I've never like had bots or like had anyone falsely prop us up. We've just grown organically over time. Everything that I've ever done has been organic, natural, just growth because people really want to see authenticity. Like I can't be fake. I tried it for a little while in the beginning.
Be fake. No, you're an Italian New Yorker. No. People can see right through that shit.
I think I can't watch people that are fake. It comes off the screen. And I think more and more people don't want to see that. So, you know, and if you're doing something and you're putting your best foot forward on it and if you make a mistake, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But to do what some of these folks are doing, and again, they get invited to all the parties and, Mar-a-Lago. You know, they.
It's kind of funny when you see, you talked about it yesterday, you hit on it very briefly as far as like a newcomer comes along on Twitter or whatever, and they say them things, they start to grow, and then you can just sit back and say, okay, I can almost Nostradamus this.
Yes.
Watch them hit a certain level of followers, and the next thing you know, they're hanging out with this person, this yep. brand. Ultimately, we follow a little pie chart, and there it is, Mar-a-Lago. It's like, and they've made it. They're there. Yeah. Now they're on the payroll.
Yeah, it's true. And again, like those of us out here, like, you might want to look over here. There's a guy standing.
Why do you hate Trump and love Biden so much, Tracy? Why are you pointing that out?
There's somebody behind you that might have a knife. Right, turn around. Mm. No. And then they're charging at you, and the guy's behind him, like,
yeah,
with a knife.
I tried. Yeah. Somebody in the chat said, nothing fake about the beans. That should be like a shirt. These beans.
I've gotten to know, like, because I was doing for the podcast, I would have like something called the Dark to Light Extravaganza.
Mm-hmm.
And people would come out to Myrtle Beach for a week. And we rented a massive mansion with like 72 bedrooms, right? Massive.
I have never heard of somebody doing this, but do go on.
And everybody lived together in that house. Me, all the people that came.
Wait. So you found
72. It's 26 bedrooms. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But still, how did you find the people to do this?
Well, I just put it out there. I said, hey, anybody who wants to come for this big get together, please come. And, you know, here, it doesn't cost you anything but what the split cost of the, like, I didn't make any money on it or anything like that. It was just everybody paid their own way. Everybody paid their own food. We cooked. We had all kinds. It was just, we started a tradition. It happens every year. Oh, it didn't happen this year. But what I'm trying to say is I lived with random strangers for a week that just happened to listen to my podcast. And like now they're like,
oh, so you asked people that listen to you to come do this.
Yeah.
Oh, that's dangerous.
No, it's not.
Yes, no, it is.
Not when you have the people that I have getting everybody's info and vetting them.
Okay. Well, duh. Yes. I mean, of course, when you put parameters not when like you that
have,
in place.
Not when you have security embedded on premises.
There have been times where I'll be like, hey, I'm going to do a meet and greet here or something. Like, I don't do those anymore. It's like, I just, if you see me, say hi, whatever. But it was all of us.
We were partying.
That's awesome, though. That is really cool to see. But what I find, though, is that a lot of these events, it's ever, and I don't blame anybody, but all they want to talk is politics. And I get that. Like, look, you get me started. I get it.
I love you.
But it's one of those things. I know I have amazing meatballs. But the thing is, it's like they want to do it. It's like, look, I'm in work mode 24/7. You like how I just kept going with that? I'm in work mode 24/7. I don't want to talk politics right now because if you get me going, I'm not going to stop. Let's enjoy whatever it is that we've got here. I get it. Yeah, I get it.
Thank you so much for saying that because whenever I go to anything, inevitably, like I'm done at that point. Like I want to enjoy myself, have a cocktail, have a little.
And you can't say that because if you do, then you're the prick. It's like,
well, that's what was great about this was because like those of us who didn't want to do that, we were by the pool, like having a drink and doing whatever. But then we would do the show live from the house. Frank came down and like we'd do the show live from the house with an audience there just watching the podcast as though that, you know, we were. And my point in bringing all this up was that like I'm literally the same person sitting with you right now as I was for a week living with people. And like, are you seriously brushing your mustache right now?
Go on, I'm listening.
Oh, Lord.
Hey, this beautiful thing has to be upkept.
Do you want to know something? I don't like it. I don't like mustaches.
I get that. Sheila loves it.
Women, that's all that really matters.
It is, yeah. The mustaches are coming back, and if I can be a part of this re-emergence of masculinity where we have the caterpillar on the lip, then I'm all about. But then I also have a little soul patch right here.
That's okay. I'm good with the mustache.
And it's different when I'm playing guitar or I'm dancing. Then it really just brings the ensemble together.
I'm good with it as long as, like, my husband has a full beard. And a mustache, but if he shaves the beard, I want the mustache gone. Gone.
Yeah. I feel the same way about women with mustaches. No,
it's
beard.
Terrible.
No mustache.
Ask some of the ladies in the chat. They'll know.
About their mustaches?
Yeah. Girls get them. They do.
Oh, right.
It's a problem. It's a pain in the ass.
Oh, somebody in the chat, a bringing, said, yep, and we had amazing food. What kind of food did y'all cook at this thing?
Oh, my gosh. You know what I did? We did an Iron Chef competition. So
stop.
Me, yeah.
This sounds like a really fun thing to do.
It is. It really is. Me and a couple of my friends, Anna was there. We went out to get random groceries. So like we took a collection. We got like $200. We went out. We picked teams, and then we created the ingredient bags, and we did three rounds of Iron Chef, and
that's
people
badass.
Had it. And then everybody had to taste it, and we had judges to judge the creation.
Did you
and
win?
No, I wasn't on a team. I didn't play because I bought the ingredients. So then my this past one we had, my dad, the cool dad I told you about, actually made dark to light cutting boards out of oak.
That's badass.
And they were the prizes for people.
That's awesome. Were they epoxy, like the wooden epoxy, or just straight wood?
No, wood.
Okay.
And he gave seasoning oil to everybody with it and a little instruction.
That's so badass. You got a cool ass dad.
He's definitely really cool.
Is he there with y'all now, or do they live somewhere else different?
We have a compound.
I don't blame you. I do not blame you. If I could get a compound, I would totally, I would. Absolutely.
We all live like next door to each other. Me, my sister, and my parents.
That's the way to do it. That is honestly a good way of doing it. I don't blame people for doing that because it's like, unless you have to move away from each other, it's like as long as you have a good, as long as people respect boundaries.
Chopped. It was Chopped, not Iron Chef. My bad. Go ahead.
What was it?
It's Chopped. I meant Chopped, not Iron Chef.
I don't even know what Chopped is.
It's what I described. Iron Chef is different. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, I just, doesn't matter what I was going to say now.
You're going to say if you don't have to move away from one another, then don't. No. We have to do this in person. It's hard to do virtually.
I don't think so. I thought this was going very well.
It is going really well, but it would be better in person. Like,
I don't think in person will work out.
Why?
I think I'd throw stuff at you, like just to throw you off track while you're like trying to. I get you talking on something very serious, like child sex trafficking. I like break up little spitballs and like throw them at you while you're talking about it. It's like, it is so rude. It's like, yeah, it is. I hate spitballs. Only you. I'm only like this with you. I don't know why. It's probably because like you remind me of my family up in New York, like the Italians up there. John, you fucking schmuck. You schmuck. You fucking. Oh. I'm not lying. As a Texan, I go to New York and spend the summers with my family in Staten Island. And so it was the greatest memories outside of like me not having a dad. You know, I'm not going to. Anyway, I had a pretty awesome childhood in terms of like experiences around the world. So around the world, excuse the country. I wasn't like an international travel when I was three. But
Trust my baby.
Furthest thing from it. Lower middle class. Try that one again. But either way, I loved in New York how they have the cul-de-sacs, and it's very common, like you have these off-roads and there's houses all up and down it, or apartment complexes or houses, whatever you want to call them. And for the 4th of July or major holidays, everybody comes out to the road to pop firecrackers, grill, share beer, share hot dog.
Block party.
Block party. Thank you. Yes, 100%. And we play football. And then when nighttime comes, all the adults are either like doing crack, like I'm not even playing, like blow, doesn't matter. They're all fucked up. Yeah. This is New York back in the 80s, 90s. No, yeah, there was no cops. Nobody cared. But either way, the kids would sit around and they would ask me the dumbest question, like, so you guys have mailboxes in Texas? It's like, nah, we find the nearest, little bush and put the letter in, hope it blows away, you know? You know what I'm talking about?
No? You don't have mailboxes in Texas?
No, that was the things they were asking me. It's like, does everybody ride horses in Texas? It's like, no.
Because we're in the concrete jungle, like Alicia Keys would sing.
Yeah. Something about New York?
Yeah. I worked on Staten Island for 6 years.
What'd you do?
This is the craziest thing. I worked for the hospital in IT.
Oh, okay.
And was literally, I was in Lower Manhattan for a lot. But I used to work on Staten Island at a place called Pouch Terminal. It was on Bay Street. I don't know if you know where Bay Street is.
No, I don't know it that well.
Okay, so it's right across the harbor from the Twin Towers, like literally right across. Like, so you could just sit there. Like, I'd pull in the morning, sit there. The water's right there.
Yeah.
In front of the car, and I would
dead bodies floating everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lobster hits.
They use concrete.
Not the broke ones. Like, hey, Vinny, where's light on the dough? Just throw them in.
Anyway, but I know Staten Island well.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, if you know Staten Island at all, you know that nobody who gets on the Staten Island Expressway knows how to drive.
No. New Jersey Turnpike. Doesn't matter where it's at.
No, the Turnpike is better than the Staten Island Expressway.
But even still, though, like Northerners, here's the deal. Northerners know how to drive in the North. You do. Like, you have to. But, like, have you ever been to Paris and see how they drive? There's no, okay, so if a roundabout, it's like Europeans do the roundabout instead of four-way stops. you better be like on your A game, because you enter a roundabout in Paris, there's no lanes. And when you're trying to exit, it's literally, you got to weasel your way around every freaking car. And miraculously, nobody touches each other. It's the weirdest thing. It's like Middle Eastern countries.
I have those in Florida.
Really? In Florida?
Roundabouts, yeah.
Florida. Florida.
That's all they do is roundabouts.
Roundabouts.
It's horrible.
They're making their way in Texas now. I think I prefer a roundabout than a four-way stop.
Why? Because nobody knows who goes at a four-way stop because everyone's stupid? Come
Pretty
on.
Much, yeah. First guy in the
line. You could put me in Manhattan, which I call the city. Mm-hmm. You could put me in the city, and I will outdrive any one of you.
You better learn, yeah. You have to. You got to learn.
It's cutthroat. It's
like Mario Kart on steroids with drugs and stuff, yeah.
But if you go to Staten Island, there is just something in the air on the Staten Island Expressway. And I got to tell you.
It's called pollution.
That's for damn sure. I drive up to New York a lot. Not a lot, but at least twice a year.
Right.
From South Carolina, where I live, to see my in-laws, who still live on Long Island. Mm. And it takes, I don't know, a good 9 hours or so to get to Jersey. Mm. And then it takes another 6 or 7 to get through the traffic mm-hmm. and go 35 miles. And it just, everything floods back to me. Mm-hmm. The evilness, the cutthroat, the attitude, the anger.
Poor Tracy.
You have no idea. Like, I would have been dead by now if I stayed in New York. Straight up. I left. I was here down in the South for like 3 years, and I went back up to visit. And I was like, I'm going to go get some coffee.
Coffee?
I'm going to get coffee.
Get some coffee in a bag.
So I go to the train station, which was nearby. There's a 7-Eleven in the train station. I go, and I'm making my coffee right in the middle of rush hour in the morning. And I'm just, walking, la-di-da. Well, there was a train on the Long Island Railroad. I'd forgotten what it was like. I literally almost was murdered inside of that train station for merely taking my sweet time making my coffee at the, mm-hmm. like cups were flying everywhere. And when I first came down, I was at Walmart trying to replace everything that I needed. And I have nothing to do. I'm off from work. I have nothing to do right now, right? I'm at Walmart with my family. We've got a cart. We're standing there. And the person in front of me is having a conversation with someone online, or the teller, yeah. the cashier. And they're talking. She's done. They hand the receipt and, How's Bo? You know, just blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, can you move?
This is the difference between the North and the South, or at least I used to. I think now it's just an age thing to where it's like, look, dude, I don't give a damn about your family. I got to go.
The difference in the pace and how you feel are so stark. It's not even funny.
Oh, yeah.
But the second my little toe gets into that city limit, it's over. Just stay the F away from me. I had a fight with someone when I went up there. I literally had a fight with someone at a self-checkout. Like, that's not me anymore.
Were shivs involved? Did you like...
She's too afraid to get... No.
You still remember this.
When I get angry, and I mean it, no one's pulling shivs with me.
People get to die.
Seriously.
Tell me this. Top of your head. Top of your head. Close your eyes. Top of your head. Give me the first answer you think of and be honest with me.
Oh, God.
Favorite food in New York?
I said pizza first.
That's where I was going to say pizza. New York pizza. I've been around this country.
Bagel second.
No. Dirty water dogs. Mm. Yeah. It's a guilty pleasure. Because
sausage
that water looks... I couldn't do it. The thing I love about New York, though, is their pizza there, you don't get a pie. You get slices. You go by slice. There's slices as big as your head. And there's so much cheese. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Depends on where you go. I won't let any of my friends and family back into New York right now. And I wouldn't go either. Don't go. Trust me. I was driving through Queens just not even 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. Middle of the day, look over to my right. My son's like, hey, what's that? Two people having sex on a bench in the middle of a park.
What? Really?
And it's everywhere. I'm dead. There's no.
Wow.
It is like, do you ever see in Ghostbusters when the ghosts come out and they're wild all over Manhattan? That is what it is like there now, except people are getting killed and doing drugs in public. And it's a sad, sad, sad situation.
Ready for this?
It's really sad.
I'm the key master. Are you the gatekeeper?
There is no beans, only Zor.
I'm so glad you got that. You better have got that.
I just saw this weekend the new Ghostbusters.
How is it?
It is amazing.
Really? Because I saw the other ones looked woke and stupid, but I have heard the newest one is pretty good.
This one and the one before it, both of them.
Really?
Fantastic.
Wait, which one was the all female? Okay.
That was garbage. This one and the one before it, you could take a 6-year-old, a 13-year-old, and a 20-year-old to this movie with no worries whatsoever.
Well, that's nice. That's nice.
It was wholesome and beautiful, and it made me cry. And it did. It made me cry at the end because Spengler, man.
What? Don't shut up. Stop.
No, he's dead. They made the movie for him. I'm not giving away the movie, a loser.
You're talking about part of it that's like really important that now we're going to go into the snow and run with him.
They just made it for him. That was known. That's not a part of the plot.
I didn't know that.
Just because you're not cultured doesn't mean that
I just haven't seen it. I just sat here and recited show tunes to you, and you have the gonad meatballs to say I'm not cultured. Do you? Yeah, is this where you want to be? Is this you want to where you want to be when Jesus comes back?
Pleasant and happy right here. Yeah. Thank you.
The other one that I'm excited to see is the new Beetlejuice.
Me too.
That actually looks good.
I watched that on repeat when I was a kid. You know what else I saw yesterday?
That explains a lot. That explains so much.
Tim Burton, baby.
I get like Dana Loesch vibes from you. Because she's like, isn't she like the goth chick that turned like radio? But like, she's all goth.
Know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, I used to wear JNCOs in high school.
Same.
I mean, I don't know.
Same. Where do you put your weed? In your JNCOs. Absolutely. Oh, I never smoked weed. Wow, nerd. Wow, look at this one.
No, I was JNCOs. Very smart.
JNCOs with the PlayStation and the chain to the wallet. You remember No Fear shirts?
Oh my gosh.
Let's go back even further. Bugle Boy?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
My mom and my father-in-law used to call them dungarees. Remember dungarees?
Dungarees? No. My mom would never let me have JNCOs.
Why?
Satanic. I grew up like Pentecostal.
Satanic? What's satanic about JNCOs?
Tracy, I don't know. They would say
Did
that.
Did she have it?
She have what?
An answer. Did she have an answer?
No.
When you ask?
You don't ask questions like that. You get smacked. Or else John gets the belt again. What other movie you want to reference? Oh, you should.
Willy Wonka. Willy Wonka.
No.
Oh, I loved it. Just saw it yesterday.
Oh, you saw it? Was it good?
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Sheila's going to hear this and want to watch it. Damn it.
Tell her. She's got to watch. I thought I was going to hate Willy Wonka.
It doesn't look good.
It's amazing.
Really?
Yes. So wholesome. Non-woke. Just.
That's good.
And then the other movie I've seen recently is After Death by Angel Studios. Highly recommend.
Haven't seen that one yet. Haven't actually never even heard of it. I will say probably the best one that I've seen that I really encourage is Dune 2.
Everybody's talking about that.
If you have not, it's even better than Dune 1. It is very, very well done. And the way they leave it, because the original Dune, it was VHS 3-part, and they were long as hell, but they were really good. The book is very long too, but I knew this was going to be a trilogy. Just like Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, like it has to be because the amount of story you're going to tell, it's going to take 3 movies. So Dune 2 is 2.5 hours as well. But it has a very Zack Snyder feel to it. You remember 300, the dark vibes and stuff? Very similar. What?
Can I?
Yeah, go ahead.
We have an inside joke in my house.
Oh boy, here we go.
Because as book smart as I am, right? Like as analytical and smart, I have some flaws. We'll just say that. Now,
I'm not going near that.
I do. I know it's hard to believe, John, but I do. When we were
perfect.
My kids were little, right? Mm-hmm. And my daughter was probably like 6 and my son was probably 3 and my husband was like, he was like, "Oh no, get that off." And I'm like, "What?" And he's like, "It's 300. I'm like, "Oh, they can watch 300. And my husband's like, "What?" I'm like, "It's not that violent." And he's like, "It's not that violent."
What are you talking about? Did you ever see it? Yes. What is wrong with you? Like
years later, it came on randomly one day and it was the beginning scene. And I was like, "Oh yeah."
Well, that explains a lot. That explains a lot. Yeah.
Anyway.
I could have made a very dark joke on that one.
I love that movie.
It's a great movie. The second one sucked. It was horrible. It's horrible.
I didn't see it. Was it like comic booky?
I don't think so, but it was basically the battle that followed after where the Greeks defeat the Persians.
Oh, who wants to see that?
Apparently enough people, they made another movie. It was horrible. So
yeah.
What do you got going on now? What do you have your fingers into? You do the journalism for your websites. Like what all does your day entail?
A lot of my day is people calling me and asking me for favors.
Really?
Yes.
Like what?
Can you help me with this? Can you?
Is it work related or like, can I borrow some salt?
Yeah, I wish it was salt. No, it's a lot of people saying, "Hey, bitches. we have this thing that we want everybody to know about. Can you help us?" All that stuff.
Can you share my GoFundMe? Can you do this? Like, yeah. And they don't get it. It's like, if I do it for you, then I got to do it for everybody. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, and the amount of DMs I have from people like share my post. You've never done shit for me, buddy. Never once. Anyway.
I was in a group with a lot of bigger influencer names, and I got invited to it because I thought it was more conversational based. And they do share. It's like a share for share kind of thing. They'll post their tweet links in there. And I finally had to leave. It's like, there's no conversation going. It's literally just a group where everybody's spamming their own shit. It's like, I already follow you. I already see it. Why am I in a group for this? So it's like,
that's how they falsely amplify stuff. That's what they do. Yeah, they boost each other.
Well, you know, I don't blame it. I mean, DC Drano and Typical Liberal did that in the early stages of
Instagram.
You
really don't like Rogan, do you?
No, I think he's a schmuck. I think he's a fucking sellout schmuck. Like, that guy is a complete tool. Complete fucking tool. Tracy, I had this guy on my show a long time ago. It was this thing called Drunken Debates. You ever heard of Drunken History?
Yeah.
Okay, we did the same thing for debates. I would host a show on Twitch, and I would bring in socialists, communists, capitalists, whatever you name it. And we would literally, we'd have a requirement. You got to be drinking. And I invited Drano on. And this is when he and I were right on the cusp of just being done with each other. And I bring him on as the capitalist conservative. He gets wrecked by the socialist, wrecked, because he didn't know what he was talking about. You go back to where you see people doing things for the wrong reasons, yet getting rewarded for it. That is one of the biggest names that has done it. He has stolen so many people's content, memes, stuff like that. And then I also have anecdotal stories of people that have actually known him personally, to include myself. When I started criticizing him on some few things, he was telling his friends, like, he's got PTSD and he's just a sad veteran. I was like, if you're going to try and gaslight somebody like that, I'm not the dude to do it with. And he's blocked me. I've challenged in debates. It's like, you know, you say all these things, back your words, he won't do it. Him and Graham Allen, there's a lot of them. Oh, the stories I can tell you, Tracy.
You don't have to get me started with Graham Allen.
Oh, please do. Please, let's talk about Mr. Bible in the trunk.
Really bothered me what he did here in South Carolina. It bothered me a lot.
Run for Congress? That's all.
Yeah, when he didn't even live here. It's my district.
I can't even. He's moving to Texas, apparently. I'm like, fuck. That's just what we need. So,
I don't know. I don't know. You know what? Listen, everybody's got their own flavor.
Yeah.
Of thing. This is just my one little perspective on the world. And it gets, you know, it's up to me to kind of charge through all the noise and do what I do. I'm very particular about the stories that I focus on, because if I'm not that way, I will be spread very thin. We're blessed and very blessed to have an amazing volunteer that writes for us at Uncover DC, who handles a lot.
That's nice.
She volunteers her time, and it's really awesome of her. Her name is Wendy. Yeah. And then, you know, it's just trying to do this thing and stay in business. And that's it.
Where do you see yourself going in the future? Is there any goals, anything you want to change? Are you just kind of on a steady course forward, and if something happens, it happens?
I would really like, my goal is to have a much bigger audience to bring the truth to, like, with no BS and no, like, I'm afraid to talk about this because I can't talk about that because, or whatever, like, and give people actual real journalism. That's the pipe dream someday in the future, to have like actual real information. My tagline for my company is actual journalism.
Why do you feel so passionate about this? You said bigger audience, and I'm not knocking you on this. I'm just wanting to get into your head on this. Why do you feel so passionate? Because I feel the same way. I've had conversations with Sheila. It's like, why are you so passionate? It's like, I don't know. I don't know. I feel like if you see an injustice, you have to say something. You have to say, like, if that person can't stand up for themselves or whatever the case, like, it doesn't bode well with me to see people lie, get taken advantage of, be manipulated. I don't like that. Maybe it's because we're victims of it. I don't know. But it's just like, that's why I feel. So I was, why are you so passionate about it if you had to sit down and break it down for yourself?
Well, freedom. Mm-hmm. If people don't have all the information that they need, they can't make informed decisions. And a lot of the times without all the information, they make decisions that are counter to freedom and their own freedom. Mm-hmm. And if I can have, I know how I do things. Like, I know where my heart is and I know what I do and I know how I do things. So if I could reach more people with that truthful information, we could probably change the world and the future of the country. Mm-hmm. That's where my passion comes from.
How much misinformation / disinformation do you see out there on a daily basis? Let's just say percentage-wise.
It depends on what's going on. On a busy, busy news day, mm-hmm. probably like 45%.
Jeez, maybe a little much, more. Huh?
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to spend all of my time being a fact checker. That's people right. have the responsibility to do it. But if something is the only time we ever got involved in a primary, just to throw this out there, mm-hmm. was during the Senate primary in 2022 with Oz and Barnett. And what's his name was lying about Kathy Barnett so egregiously. I wasn't even on Twitter at the time. I was banned. Richard Grenell was lying so terribly about Kathy Barnett that I found that I was so compelled to dispute that line of bullshit that mm-hmm. I had to publish something. It's never happened to me since mm-hmm. that something was so horribly egregious that I would actually go against my own policy to yeah. make sure it was fixed. Now, I don't know if she was going to win or not. I have no idea. But I know that when you have somebody out there so viciously manipulating the truth to suit their own agenda, mm-hmm. somebody better effing come forward and say something about it. And that's nobody exactly, was doing
yes. it. That's how I felt about Junior Majewski, the guy who was running up in Ohio. He was a combat veteran. And he hit my radar about 1 to 2 years ago. And he is known for being stolen valor, which means he lied about his service. And he lied about actually serving in Afghanistan. He was loading bags in Qatar in the Air Force, but he never flew and fought in Afghanistan. So he even admitted that to me via DMs before I got my account banned, which I should have saved that shit. But either way, I felt the same way. If you are willing as a conservative to lie to your voter base about your level of service and what you didn't do versus what you did or vice versa, then what wouldn't you lie about? Because to a lot of veterans, we take that very seriously. He's like,
yeah.
You know, a lot of, okay, not everybody was special forces. Not everybody was airborne. Not everybody did this. It's fine. You served. You did your thing. Cool. Be proud of that. But there are a certain number of people that do want to take the next step. It's like, oh, yeah, I was a trigger puller. It's like, but you weren't. It's like, don't try and steal that from other people. So I know exactly what you're talking about. When you see something that people are being taken advantage of and they don't know any better, it's like somebody needs to expose this. Like the truth needs to come forward.
I just wouldn't have been able to sleep at night if I didn't try. Mm-hmm. Like they were trying to make her seem like a racist and she wasn't. It was terrible. Mm-hmm. So I did it. And, you know, she ended up supporting Vivek Ramaswamy this go round.
Jesus. That guy.
She worked on his campaign. But hey, mm-hmm. Kathy Barnett deserved her truth to be told by somebody who was trying to counter. Like they were. And the worst part is they were lying about her to get Oz in. Mm. Oz. I mean, Fetterman is better than Oz would have been.
Oz. We go back to candidate quality, and I look back at the 2022 midterms race. What do you say to this? Herschel Walker, Oz. I'm just kind of like, this is the best we can do? Now, I'm not trying to downplay their own individually earned accolades. Like, good for you. A professional football player, Oz, TV, like, awesome. But at the same time, it's like, do we really feel this is the best way to represent the movement? And it's like, genuinely don't.
The same way that Aaron Rodgers was being floated around as a VP pick. Do I want some guy who's out with his ayahuasca on a mountaintop somewhere coming to rule the country if you get killed, God forbid, or something happens to you? I mean, the other chick's not much better, but you understand what I'm saying.
It seems like if people are out there making very controversial statements, they do develop a following, and suddenly they're hailed as... The one I can think of off the top of my head is that Dom Lucre.
No, don't. No.
No.
That's the most. No.
Oh, okay.
That was the biggest travesty I've ever seen happen.
How so?
It made me, because he started off like nowhere, peppered 90% truth in with 10% hook, got it, worked his way up. All of a sudden, he's got a million followers, and I'm sitting here like, what the universe are we in right now? Like, seriously? Yeah. And then the whole thing with that interview, that was it for me. I was anybody that... The interview where
the one that he faked?
He sat like I'm sitting here, played somebody else's interview on a screen in front of him, had a cameraman behind him filming him watching someone else's interview as though he was the one interviewing.
This is about the tunnels in New York. This is about the tunnels in New York, yeah.
He raised so much money to do that. Mm-hmm. If I put a GoFundMe or a Give Send Go out to raise money for Uncover DC, underneath in the comments, there's 40 or 50 idiots telling me how I'm a grifter. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm producing actual real information and real journalism.
Yeah.
This guy wants to go to New York City and film a documentary where he doesn't even interview people for real, uses other people's footage, and people are throwing cash at this guy. Like,
Tracy, you've been chosen to be exposed. You're next. You've been chosen.
Good luck.
I know.
Come on in. I'll invite you in, man. Let me show you around.
This is another example of, again, the grift that continues to... And then, sure enough, there he is taking pictures of Mar-a-Lago. It's like, oh my God. Ray Charles could have called that one, seen that one coming. It's like, come on, this is ridiculous.
I was invited to one event, and then I have to go because it's too... I could talk to you for fucking hours. It's sick, actually.
I'm pretty awesome. Well, thanks.
Why? I don't even know you.
Well, fuck you too, Tracy. Fuck you too.
Anyway.
So tell me this thing, then what you got.
I got invited to one event, and it was really actually very awesome. It was in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. It was the John Rich album premiere party at his house in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And I was pretty stunned when I got the call. I was like, me?
You sure? Do you know who I am?
I'm like looking around, but then I understood why I was invited.
Why?
I was invited because it was Devin Nunes was putting it together. Mm-hmm. And Devin Nunes is amazing. Mm-hmm. He is an amazing man. He's an amazing guy, integrity up the wazoo. And I had worked on Spygate during the Trump administration exclusively for like 24 hours a day. I was on this story for the entire time. And the research that a lot of us did informed the HPSI investigation at the house, at the house. And so it was Cash and them and all them. And it was kind of just like reporters like Jan Jakelic, me, Lee Smith, we were all there. So and then I got it. It was like, okay, Devin wants his reporter people to be there because we did the OG work on this stuff. And like, there were a bunch of other people too. But that was a fun night. I actually got to hang out and talk to Jim Brewer about guns for like 2 hours.
Jim seems like a cool dude.
He was really awesome. He did a whole thing where he sang Poison, and it was a really good night. I had a lot of fun. It was well worth it. I was so glad that I went. But that's the only thing.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not surprising. When it's one of those things like if you want to see who's on the outside and not with the insiders, see who's not invited to events. But at the same time, I will caveat off that and say that I remember when Milo Yiannopoulos first hit the scene, I was a big Milo fan. I loved what he was doing out there. But then, like, CPAC uninvited Milo. And I forget what the reasoning for it was. It was ridiculous. Milo
It was
said
right
something.
After the pedophile stuff had come out.
Was that it? Okay, maybe it was that. And it was kind of like, it was a joke. And everybody just like flipped their lids over. I'm like, okay, this is getting ridiculous now. And that began the fall of Milo. It was like, oh boy. And now just to see after the whole Kanye West thing with Nick Fuentes, I'm like, bro, what happened
to
you?
It's crazy town.
What happened to you?
I was worried about him when I was with, it was somewhere. I saw him and he just didn't look well. It was years ago though. Mm-hmm. It was years ago. I think it was with Brandon Strzok. Mm. Another person who's had their stories about this stuff. It's a nut you can't crack, John.
Yeah.
Unless you bend the knee. And you know what? Even if I did bend the knee, I don't think they'd let me in anyway.
Absolutely not. They could still view it as like, yeah, you're probably not MAGA enough, or you're probably not. Yeah, I get it. I try. But you know, I am happy to see that you've got success on your own, though. You've done it for yourself. You've built this by yourself. You've had a lot of friends that support you. Your family seems to support you greatly. You have a lot of friends in the chat that absolutely love you. So, you know, there's some things that they can never take away.
One of you. One of all of us.
Don't do that. Don't try.
You don't like that?
No.
You don't?
No. Go the opposite direction. Say, because I am a god. I am a god.
It's Easter weekend, John.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, just pick a pagan god and you're good. All right, Tracy, we got to do this again. We got to do this again.
We will, and you're coming to my show.
Absolutely. Okay, so you said co-host.
Yeah.
And I was like, what does co-host mean?
Like, instead of doing an interview,
uh-huh,
you're just going to co-host the show with me like I would do a normal show with my usual co-host on Fridays. You will be the co.
But how do I co-host? It's like,
oh, you just sit there and then you respond to things as I show them to you.
Oh, okay. That sounds easy enough.
Oh, it's fast. It's easy. Okay. An hour.
Right up my alley, just like my sex life.
That's
fast and easy.
Hey, we talked about that this morning. For some people, 4 minutes is fast. You know.
No. That's no.
I don't think people really realize how long they're doing it for when they're in the middle of it. But that'll be another topic for another day.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. It is.
I don't know. Yeah.
This just got weird. Anyway.
I
didn't do anything. No, I tell women all the same thing. It's like, look, I'll give you the best 30 seconds of your life and 29 of that's foreplay.
Goodbye.
Gummy worm ain't big, but going 100 miles an hour, it's going to leave a mark. Goodbye, Tracy. We'll talk to you next time.
Have a nice weekend, John.
And that does it for us here at the All American Savage Show podcast. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Love, Tracy. Our second interview. I appreciate that. Look, if you enjoy what you listen to, go check out Tracy on Twitter. I've retweeted her all day. Tracy Beans. She's got the subscriber option over on Twitter. Go show some love. Genuinely good human being, does it for all the right reasons. God bless her. Glad she came on. And also make sure you check out shellshockcbd.com. In case you didn't know about that, we're running a deal and you should check it out. Because if you don't, well, then you're just a bad human being. And I think that pretty much wraps it up. Yeah, that does it. We will see you back Monday. And until next time, you stay savage, America.